Today's scripture reading is John chapter 14, verses 1 through 9, and can be found on page 1067 in your Pew Bible. Again, John 14, 1 through 9, on page 1067 of your Pew Bible. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him and have seen him. You do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? This is the word of the Lord.
So this morning, as we look at this text and this question, I'm going to be saying a variety of things to you. But I want to make it clear what I'm after in this text, in this sermon. The thing I want you to be thinking about, because it might get lost in the stuff that I say this morning. The question that Jesus asked prompts a question in my own mind for myself, and I hope prompts a question for you. The question in the text is, do you still not know me? It may be, after all this time, do you still not know me? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, it may be that you remember the time and the place where that happened, or it might be that you just know now you trust in Jesus Christ, and maybe it was a kind of process for you, but now you trust in Jesus Christ. That's all good. But the question that I want to ask us all this morning is, from the time we trusted in Jesus Christ, from the time we began the journey with Jesus Christ, from the time we started in faith in Jesus, since that time, have we come to know Jesus better? Have we come to know him more? Is there any difference in your understanding and in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Is there any difference now than what it was when you started? I think that's the question we want to think about this morning. And I want you to leave with that kind of question in your mind. In my relationship with Jesus, has it grown? Has it matured? Has it gotten at least different and hopefully better? We have two daughters, Stacy and Stephanie. They're 40 and 38. With both of them, we had a certain relationship when they were 10 years old. Our relationship with them now is substantially different. It has grown. Hopefully, it is better. This is particularly true with Stacy, who is now a mother. Our relationship to her has changed. She's not merely our daughter anymore. She is now the mother of her own children. It's changed. it's hopefully better. I want to ask you that question. How is it with your relationship with Jesus? Has it gotten better? Has it gotten deeper? Has it changed? Is it a process? All right, let's look at the text. Let me just say some things about the text, because there's a number of interesting things in it. This passage comes up after Jesus has said to the disciples some difficult things. He has told them that he will soon be leaving them, and where he is going, they cannot come, not just yet anyway. That prompts a question on the part of the disciples. They're disturbed, and Jesus sees that they're disturbed. So he gives them this assurance that he's going to prepare a place for them. And he ends that statement or that thing, you know the way to the place where I am going. Well, Thomas just doesn't sit still. And when he doesn't understand something or he doesn't sort of buy it, he responds. And he does so here. We don't know where you're going. Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus answers that question. I think Thomas is expecting a kind of roadmap. It's over here. You go through that direction, or you pass through that thing, that door, and there it will be. That's where we're going. That's where I will be. That is the way. Jesus responds in an entirely different way. In a remarkably different way. He just switches it all around. He says, no, 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 no. There's no map here except this. It's me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, in effect, says, it's me. I'm the way. You need to trust in me. I'm the way. Then he adds this, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. If Jesus answer, I am the way, Thomas asks, we don't know the way, what's the way? And Jesus says, I am the way. If that was difficult for them to understand, this is even more difficult. If you really know me, you will know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. It's me, Jesus will say. Philip will ask the question, well, hey, show us the Father. And I'm thinking his heart's kind of racing at this point because no one's seen God. And Jesus has said, you already have seen the Father. You know the Father. Show him to us. And what he has in mind, I assume, is a vision. Conjure up some sort of divine magic and show us the Father. And Jesus does, again, something entirely unexpected in his answer. He says, if you really know me, you will know the Father. Don't you believe that I am the Father? Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show me the Father? Philip, if you've seen me, if you've known me, then you've seen the Father. Then you know the Father. How can you ask me, Philip? How can you ask me that? After all the time I have been with you, how can you ask me that? Jesus goes on to explain, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. You've seen the Father in me. I've shown you the Father. Look at me. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've said. You want to see the Father? I've shown you the Father. When Jesus says those things, I don't think there's any harshness in his voice. I think there's disappointment, because it just sort of feels that way. You're asking me this? After all the time I've spent with you, which is about 3 years, intense time, after all of this time that I have been with you and you see me do what I do and say what I say, and then you ask me, you don't know that I am speaking the words of my Father, and if you've seen me and if you knew me, you'd know the Father. I kind of side with Philip a little bit here. At this point, the disciples can't get the idea in their heads, and I can understand it, that Jesus is the Messiah. They still have a different understanding than Jesus does. And now he says that he is, if they want to see the Father, and that's Father with a capital F, Father, then they can see him, in Jesus. How in the world are they going to get their minds around that? I can understand Philip's question. And I think Jesus does too. I think when he answers him, he says, what is it he says? Don't you know me, Philip? It's not a sharp rebuke kind of thing. He calls him by name. Don't you know, Philip? Don't you know? I think that's how Jesus answered it. I want to say some things about this passage now. And I want to begin with some technical stuff. Technical in the sense of the meaning in Greek behind some of the words in this passage, specifically a word. I don't do this a lot because oftentimes going back to the Greek is not particularly helpful. And most of the time, I don't understand what I'm saying anyway, so I don't do that sort of thing. But here, there's some interesting and informative stuff in the original Greek. The word know, K-N-O-W, kno, shows up 7 times in this passage. In the Gospel of John, it shows up a multitude of times. It's an important word. In this passage, it is the word know is translated just as that, know. It's the same word in English. But in the Greek, it's 2 different words. 3 of the times it's used, the word in Greek is oido. And it means, it comes from the word to see. And it basically means to see the facts of the case. To know as if you see it. Has to do with information. It's kind of like if you were to go to a restaurant and open a menu and you saw a dish that you saw there and you wanted to know about it, this kind of know would take you to some kind of chemistry thing and you'd find out what all the ingredients are and what the components are, this and that and the other thing, and you would know this menu item. That's one way this word is used. The other way is the way Jesus uses it, and that word is ginosko. It is a word to know that involves more personal involvement. It's a difference, going back to the menu, it's not just about knowing what goes into that menu item, what the ingredients are, it's actually tasting it and knowing it that way. Jesus, in another passage in John, when he washes his disciples' feet, in that passage, in that incident, he uses the word know, and in both ways. Peter, in this foot-washing incident, Peter says, Jesus instructs his disciples that he's going to wash their feet. Peter says, no, you're not. You can't do that. That's not appropriate, et cetera, et cetera. Jesus says, you do not know. This is oido. You don't know the facts of what I'm doing. Then he says, but you will know. And that's gnosko. you will understand. Our relationship will grow, you will understand. Jesus wants us to know him, not only in oidos, to know about him, to know the facts about him, but he also wants us to know him in a personal relationship way. As someone who is involved in our lives. Those two words. The other technical thing I want to tell you is that in this passage, the word gnosko is in the perfect tense. I'm very proud of myself at this point. The perfect tense means this. It describes the action that began in the past and continues in the future, or in the present, excuse me. It began in the past, it continues in the present, which means it's a process. Jesus says, when he talks to the disciples about knowing him, he's describing a process. It has a beginning, but it doesn't end there. That's a different tense. I forget what it is, aorist tense. Completed action, all done. That's not this tense. This is a perfect tense. It began there, it continues now. Jesus wants us to be in relationship with him in process. The short circuit happens when the process ends. When we don't continue to grow, to learn, to be involved, interested in our relationship to Jesus Christ. That's the question before us this morning. Are we in process with Jesus? Are we knowing him better, deeper, even just differently? Are we doing that? It's interesting that Jesus says, after such a long time, you still don't know me. I wonder if Jesus would sort of put the question to us in the same way. You know, after so many years. Well, it'd be interesting if he would put the question to me. After a lot of years. Do you not know me any better? Do you still not know me? Do you still know me in the same way as when you were a baby in faith, when you were making your first toddler steps in faith? You still know me that way? Or in the words of the Apostle Paul, when he's talking to the church at Corinth and about their lack of maturity, you know, he has to feed them milk and not meat because they haven't grown. I wonder if Jesus would ask me that. Do you still not know me? After all this time, Mike, do you still not know me any better? Are you still not any more in relationship with me? Has the process stopped? How to know him better? I'm going to give you a variety of things here. First of all, understand what I just said, that it's a process. It's never ending. Okay? If you take it seriously and if you work at it, it'll get better. It's supposed to be a process. It goes on. Knowing our children is a process. Judy knowing me, I knowing Judy is a process. It goes on and on and on. Following Jesus Christ, knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and even as Savior is an ongoing process. Understand that. Okay? You want to know Jesus better? Understand it's a process. Second, remember. Remember your beginning. I think it's important that we do that every now and then. That we go back and we remember where we started. How we started. Many people can go back and remember the specific moment and time, specific moment and place where they trusted in Jesus Christ. That where they crossed over, in the words of Jesus, from death to life. They can remember that moment. Some people can't quite do that. They just know they have crossed over from death to to life. I imagine if you were to ask our children, they would say something along the lines, well, you know, I've always trusted in Jesus. Jesus is all I've ever known. Everyone has a beginning. You may be able to specify, or you just know that you had a beginning with Jesus. I think to know Jesus better, you need to remember that. Every now and then, you need to go back and remember that. The journey started. I had a beginning. I had a birth, a new birth. You want to know Jesus better? Understand it's a process. I encourage you to remember your beginning. Don't stay there, but don't forget it either. Understand it's a process. Remember your beginning. Learn. Third thing, learn. Learn more about him. In my reading for this sermon, I came across this distinction over and over again. It's important to know, and it is important to know, it's important to know that there's a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. I understand that. I think that's a great point. But also, I think that it's important to know more about Jesus. It's important to know about Jesus. To know the facts about him, to know who he was, what he did, what Scripture says about him, it's important to learn about Jesus. And one of the ways to do that, obviously, is to read Scripture. And I would suggest to you that you look at the Gospels. Interesting thing, here's kind of a, by the way, kind of thing. There's an interesting thing that happens in the Gospels. Jesus is full of surprises. You read the Gospels, and you read them carefully and openly with the intent of learning about Jesus. You will discover things about him that may or may not jive with your understanding of him. He will say surprising, challenging, disturbing, comforting things. You will learn about Jesus if you read the Gospels. So, learn more about him. That's part of knowing him better. You can read books about him. You can listen to teaching about him, whatever. Make it a goal to know more about Jesus. You want to know him better? Learn about him. Fourth, talk to him. You want to know Jesus better? You want to continue the process? Talk to him. I mean by that prayer, obviously, but I mean also prayer as just talk to him. When you're when you're at the grocery store, talk to him. When you read the paper, what do you think of this, Jesus? Jesus, are the Mariners going to win the pennant this year? Talk to him. What do you think about this, Jesus? What would you do about that, Jesus? Help me with this, Jesus. This hurts, Jesus. This is disappointing, Jesus. Talk to him. You would do that with anyone you want to know better, right? And Jesus is real? Talk to him about anything, everything. I made the mistake of saying to my doctor, sometimes I have heartburn. And she said, aha, when was the last time you had a treadmill test? Oh, I don't know, when I was 2 years old or something. I don't know. Long time ago. So I had this treadmill test. And when it came time to get on the treadmill, I remember distinctly thinking, Jesus, help me with this. And it went fine, it went great. But the point I want to make is you bring him, you talk to him wherever you might be, and that's the last thing I want to say to you. Take him with you. Talk to him. Take him with you. Make him a part of your life. Take him to dinner with you. Take him to work with you. Take him to school with you. Not like a, you know, not like a pet or something, but that he's going with you. When I say take him with you, I do not mean to imply that he does not go with you. I mean to say to you, remember that he is going with you, that he's there. Do you want to know Jesus better? I don't think any of us want Jesus to say to us what he said kindly and compassionately and in an understanding way to Philip. Don't you know me? Even after I have been with you for such a long time, don't you know me? Let's pray. Father God, in your kindness and graciousness to us, you have shown us, given to us, Jesus Christ. And Jesus knows us. And he wants to be in a relationship with us that continues to grow. Remind us, Father, that it's a process. Remember, Father, that it's an everyday process. It's an everywhere process. May it become important to us that we know Jesus better. In his name we pray, amen.